On Sadi Vavud Aleph, 96A at the Mishnah. All red all the time. Chavite Kohen Gadol, Lishasan, Varichasan, Vapiasan, Bifnim, Vidochos es Hashabbos. The loaves of the Kohen Gadol are kneaded and arranged and baked in Bifnim, in the Beis HaMikdash. The Vidochos is a Shabbos, and they override Shabbos. Those Avodos in particular override Shabbos. Tchinasan v'arkadasan, whereas grinding up the flour, sifting the flour, Eino Doches a Shabbos, that does not override Shabbos. And we get Rabbi Akiva's famous rule, which you've already seen, we saw it in the Gemara in Shabbos as well. Klalama Rabbi Akiva, Komalacha she'efshar la'asosa me'erev Shabbos, Eino Doches a Shabbos. If it could be done before Shabbos, it does not override Shabbos. If it couldn't have been done on Erev Shabbos, Docha es HaShabbos, then it does indeed override Shabbos. So baking could not have been done yesterday. Kneading it and arranging the dough could not have been done yesterday. Apparently it would not have been as fresh. One issue is freshness in terms of arranging the dough, and then the other issue is lina. But you can't leave it overnight before use. Sorry?
What about matzah? Did it be matzah?
The chavit and our matzah, yeah.
Yeah, so there's also a bit of problem if you did it before.
In terms of?
You have to keep kneading all the time.
Well, not if you baked it.
Baking.
Yeah. Baking it would halt that. Okay. So that's the first part of the Mishnah. The second part of the Mishnah, this is a rather long Mishnah. Kol menachos yesh ben maaseh kli bifnim ve'en ben maaseh kli b'chutz. The menachos require that they be done with a kli shares. Rashi explains, lisha v'aricha, the kneading and arranging of the dough, is all with a kli shares, and it's bifnim, it's inside the Beis HaMikdash. We actually saw this discussion earlier on. We talked about the need for a kli. The Rambam in Maaseh HaKorbanos, Yud Beis Chaf Gimel, rules that, as we say here in the Mishnah, that you're supposed to do it all inside. However, the Rambam in Tmidin and Musaf in Perakei Halacha Zayin rules, as you saw back on Sadi Heimud Beis, that for Lechem HaPanim it could be done outside. Lishasen Varichasen B'chutz. And in Tmidin and Musaf in Perakei Halacha Zayin, he rules by the Shtei Lechem, Lishasen Varichasen B'chutz. So Tosus back on Sadi Heimud Beis, and this is brought in the Lechem Mishnah as well, distinguishes and says, where there's oil mixed in with the Mincha, then it's done bifnim. The chavite kohen gadol have oil mixed in, and therefore it's done bifnim. If there is no oil, then it's bachutz. The lisha and aricha are done bachutz. That's our distinction, is whether there's oil or whether there's no oil. That determines inside or outside. Shtei alechem, we now get dimensions of the loaves. The shtei alechem arkan shiva tfachim urchavan or varachban dalad tfachim. The shtei alechem, the two loaves of Shavuos, are 7 tefach by 4 tefach. Vikarnoseim arba etzbaos. And then you have the corners. And the corners are 4 etzbaos. Rashi simply tells you, Vikarnoseh, Hashem madvik batzik lechalzavis kein karnayim. You added dough on each corner like horns. Vaorech hakeren arba etzbaos. And the length of the keren was 4 etzbaos. We'll see more about that when they talk about how they used to stack the loaves. We'll see a little bit more about how they protruded. But you have 7 by 4, and then you also have 4 tefach protrusion on each corner. Rabbeinu Gershom says, Halacha l'Moshe miSinai. This is not deduced from Sukkim anywhere. This isn't Hekish anywhere. It's simply Halacha l'Moshe miSinai. This is the way it is. This is the way it's always been. The Lechem HaPanim Arkan Yud Tfachim or Varachban He Tfachim. The Lechem HaPanim of Shabbos are 10 Tefach by 5 Tefach. The Karnos of Sheva Etzbaos. And then these corners are another 7 Etzbaos. And again, we'll see how they protruded. They don't give you a third dimension here for depth, but we do know in the discussion regarding how thick you're allowed to make matzah for Pesach, we say that they could be a Tefach thick for the Menachos. Because they discuss that you're not supposed to make a matzah for Pesach that thick because of concern that people aren't that careful and it might become chametz. You don't get everything baked fully. But when you're dealing with the Beis HaMikdash, we assume it is baked fully, so it's a tefach in depth. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shalo Tit'eh Zadad Yahaz. Rabbi Yehuda says this one didn't make it the way that the Tzach Hadash Be'achav made it, you know, or Lo Adu Rosh and Lo Badu Pesach. Some acronyms have it and some acronyms just don't. This ones that don't. The Zadad Yahaz, this is your acronym to remember the dimensions for the Shtei Alechem. That's Zadad, 7 by 4, and the Karnos are another 4. And Yahaz Alechem upon him, 10 by 5, with corners of 7 Tefach. And this is, as the Bartanura notes, they bring it in the margin. This is Rabbi Yehuda. I'm sorry, it's Boz, not Tefach. Thank you. The good catch on that. That would be rather big corners. The 7 finger breadths and 4 finger breadths for the corners. So this is Rabbi Yehuda's way to provide mnemonics. You'll see it again on Kuf Hey Amid Aleph. He's going to provide another mnemonic there. Now, there it won't be an acronym. Okay. Benzoma Omer v'nasata la shulchan lechem panim lefanai tamid lechem panim shahayu lo panim or pinim, depending on your edition. But he says it's called lechem panim. So lechem panim means that it has a face. Rashi says first defanos, that it has walls, and second he says that it has these corners that are added on. Okay, so that's the dimensions of the bread. What are the dimensions of the table? Hashulchan, Arko Yud, Verachbo Chamisha. We're going to see two different views. It's a Machlokas Rabbi Yud and Rabbi Meir. I'm sorry? Also have the corners, even though there is no, even though we don't say Lechem HaPanim regarding those. Yeah, it's a good point. They don't give us that. Here we don't get that. The shulchan, the Torah tells us the length and the width of the shulchan. It tells us that it's supposed to be 2 amos long and an amo wide. The challenge is, what's an amo? Because it might be 6 tefach, it might be 5 tefach, and that's the source for this machlokas of Yehuda Rabbi Meir. Hashulchan orko yud v'rach bo chamisha. First we get the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says it is 10 tefach long and 5 tefach wide, so an amo is 5 tefach when you're dealing with the kalim that they had in the Beis HaMikdash. Lechem apanim arko yud v'rach bo hein. Lechem apanim is also 10 by 5. Now, you can't simply say, well, then let's put the length of the bread along the length of the table, because you're supposed to have 2 piles of bread. So how's that going to work? So that's not what you're doing. Rather, no sein arko keneged rach bo shel shulchan. You take the length of the bread, the 10 tefach length, and you put it along the 5 tefach width of the table. And the kofel tfachayim u'mechza mikan u'tfachayim u'mechza mikan, and you fold up 2.5 tefach on either end. Now you already learned about whether it's a sphina or a kedas, whether it's going on it like a V, or whether it's a flat bottom and then folded up at the sides. But either way, 2.5 tefach of your length has to curve upwards, can't overflow the table. Nimtza arko memale rochbo shel shulchan, and the result is that the length of it fills the width of the table. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda's understanding. So everything is flush, very close together. The Rabbi Meir, Omer Hashulchan Arko Yud Beis V'Rach Bovav. Rabbi Meir says, no, the Amos that you're dealing with for the Kalim and the Beis HaMikdash are each 6 Tefach, and therefore it's 12 Tefach. The Shulchan is 12 Tefach long and 6 Tefach wide. Lechem Apanim Arko Yud V'Rach Bo Hei. The bread for Shabbos is 10 by 5. So no sin Arko Keneged Rach Bo Shal Shulchan. Again, you put the length of the bread along the width of the table. Kofel tfachayim mikan utfachayim mikan. You're folding up 2 tefach on either side. Utfachayim revach beemtza, and that will still leave you then with 2 tefach in the middle, because it's 12 altogether. Each one is now taking up. I'm sorry. It's. Hang on. Let me make sure I don't make a mistake with this. It's 12 tefachim long, and each of them is 5. Wide, and you're putting them side by side, so you end up with no. But then what's your kofel?
Yeah, your kofel 2 on each end.
Yeah,
6 long by.
Oh, because he's in the yeah.
4, so 6 long by 5 wide sits on the table, and the 2 at the end at each end. So 6 long, 2 on pulled up at each end.
And then you still have then he's have 2 tefach, right? And he's still have 2 tefach, right? Thank you. The so kadesh day haruach min hashavas b'hem, but it's not 2 left at the end. It's 2 tefach. It's in the middle. The and the idea is that air should be able to pass between them. We're going to see here measures that they took in order to keep it fresh, despite the fact that we're told there was a nace. We've seen this before. Ein somchan al nace. We don't rely on nisim. We try to make sure that it's all going to stay fresh to the extent we are capable of doing so. Abashol Omer, Shama, you know, the Mishnei Bazichei Levona, Shalachem Apanim. Abashol disagrees. He says, that's not what the space is for. The space is for the Bazich and the frankincense. Omru lo, Vareg Varnema, Avadasata, Al HaMarechas Levona Zaka, to which they ask, the Pasuk says it's on top of the bread. You're putting the Levona on the bread. So Amar Lehem, Rekvar Nehem, Rav Alof, Matei Menashe. We've seen this before. He says, Al means Besamuch, Al means next to. Just like Ve'alof, Matei Menashe means Menashe is camped next to. It doesn't mean on top of the next Shevet. Next, about the table, Ve'arba'as nifin shel zav ha'yusham mifutzalin me'rashayhen. You had four poles made of gold, and these were slotted. Mifutzalin is that they are slotted at their ends. Shayusomchin bahen, and Shayusomchin bahen, shnayim l'seder zeh, u'shnayim l'seder zeh. The idea was that you would lean on them, or you would use them as a support, and there were two for each, two snifin for each of the arrangements of the bread. The kafches kanim kechati kana cholul, you had 28 half reeds, half in the sense that they weren't fully rounded, that extended across the table. Arba'a asar l'seder zev, arba'a asar l'seder zev. 14 for each pile of loaves. Lo sidur kanim v'lo netilasam doches ha-shabbos. Arranging these poles, and removing the poles did not override Shabbos. Ela nichnas me erev Shabbos v'shom tan v'nos nan, it should be, or v'shom tov v'nos nov, you have it this way. Lo arko shel shulchan. Before Shabbos you would go in and you would remove the poles, you would place them along the length of the table, rather than pull them out on Shabbos, and then after Shabbos you would go put them back in between the loaves. Kol ha-kelim shei b'mikdash, orkam la-orko shabayis, and all the kelim you had in the Beis HaMikdash were lined with the length of the Beis HaMikdash, and we'll talk about that more in the Gemara in terms of the placement of the menorah and so on. Tosfos tells you, just wait for the Gemara to see more discussion about that. Okay, that's the Mishnah. We go back to the point about requiring a kli and requiring bifnim. So kol ha-menachos yesh ben maisa kli bifnim. We're on the second wide line, tzadiv avamid aleph. Shalu es Rebbe. They asked Rebbe, zumi nayin. What's the source for this? Amar lahem, to which he replied, Harayu omer vayomer elai zeh ha-makom asher yivashlu sham ha-kohanim es ha-asham ve-es ha-chatas, it should say, asher yofu es ha-mincha, levoti hotzi el ha-chatzer ha-chitzona. The pasuk in Yechezkel, Hashem shows him, this is the place where the kohanim are going to cook up the korbanos and where they're going to bake the mincha, not to take it out to the outer yard. So, mincha, dum yada asham ve-chatas, we link together the mincha with the asham and the chatas, ma asham ve-chatas tu'unin kli, when you cook them up, it's in a kli shareis. So too, the mincha is in a kli shareis. Tosus points out that this is regarding lisha and aricha, the kneading and arranging of the dough, because back on pei beis amid beis, we deduced that you require a kli for shchita of korbanos. Right, that was a separate discussion by Ikaches Hamacheles and all of that, but here we're requiring a kli at the post Hakdasha stage. That was in terms of the generation of the kedusha in the first place. Okay, Hashulchan Arko Asara. The table's length is 10 tefach. So that's according to one measure, anyway. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, "L'divrei ha'omer tfachayim u'mechza kofel." If you're going to say that the loaves of bread are folded up 2.5 tefach on each side, nimtza shulchan mekadesh chamisha asar tfachim lamala. We assume that the bread is not nestled one within the other, and therefore, if you take 2.5 and you multiply it by 6, because you have 6 loaves in each pile, the result is that the shulchan's kedusha extends 15 tefach up in the air, 2.5 times 6. It's going to sanctify all the way up in the air, 2.5 tefach times 6. That's how far it's going to go. Rashi explains why I care. This isn't simply an interesting point of math. He says, Nafkamina de yoev ba'avir ha-shulchan midi b'soch tezvav tefach and mekadesh leili pasabalina. Anything you put on the table within the 15 tefach height is going to become kodesh, such that it could be subject to the laws of lina. even though the bread sitting on the table is not subject to the laws of Lina in terms of its duration on the table at any rate, but when something goes on the Shulchan, it's actually subject to Kedusha and therefore disqualification. That's the idea. Ledivrei, back in the Gemara, five lines up from the bottom, Ledivrei ha'omer tfachayim kofel, and if you say that it's two tefach upward, then nimza Shulchan mekadesh yud based tfachan lamala. Multiply that by six, and you end up with 12 tefach in sanctification height on top of this table, on top of the Shulchan.
Passing through, though, not sitting, right? Because what difference does the height make?
Six,
if it's sitting, right? It's on the table, it's on the table.
No, because you have six loaves up in the air.
Six,
you mean if something were to be passed through there? Well, if it was nestled on one of the loaves, perhaps, or resting on one of the kanim.
Well, the air height.
Yeah, the airspace is what we're concerned
passing
about.
Passing through itself would make it good.
I don't know if we say kluta kamisha hunchadamya when it comes to kedusha, being passing through the air is like it's resting or not. Not necessarily. I might argue not. I could see the argument both ways. But certainly resting on it or resting on the kanim would generate kedusha. So the Gemara asks about a whole bunch of things that don't seem to be included in our calculation. We're just doing it based on the folding up of the sides of the loaves. What about a whole series of other things? The Gemara asks, v'ha'ika kanim, what about the poles that are supposed to be supporting these loaves? Kanim shakui mishakalahu. No, these were actually embedded in the body of the bread itself. The maitaima, why? Mishum iafushe lachem. Rashi explains what we're asking when we say maitaima is, why did you have the reeds at all? Not why are they embedded in the loaves, but why do you have these poles, these horizontal poles at all? And the answer is, you want to leave some air to keep the bread from going bad. To which the Gemara says, sov sov kamei afesh lachem. I don't understand. Since you sink it into the bread, what air space is there? They're not providing any air. Yeah, the magbalei porta. No, they do elevate the bread a little bit. Sandu v'ha'ikahu porta. In that case, it's a little bit of airspace, and there's a little bit of airspace. That it's not 15 tefach or 12 tefach. So he says, kevin lavi tefach lo chashiv lei. It's a rounding error. Since it's not a tefach, we ignore it. But you're right. Technically, the kedusha extends a greater space. Well, what about the frankincense? What about the lavona? That's set between the loaves, as Abba Shaul said. It stood within the loaves itself. Rashi is bothered by this. Why do we even mention the bazichin, since the table doesn't sanctify the bazichin? Our whole point was that the airspace that we're talking about is the airspace in which Hakdasha takes place. Right, we're not talking about just random things that are on the table. So if the lavona is all the way on top of the loaves, there's no kedusha up there anyway. We're not relying on the shulchan to provide kedusha for the lavona. So Tosfos addresses it. He says that doesn't bother me. Because it sounds like there was kedusha in whatever space the lavona actually was sitting. Okay. But our answer in any case is it doesn't matter. It's between the loaves.
You didn't put it on top anyway.
Correct. That was the Gemara's answer. The Gemara's answer is begavei de lechem avayasvi. Don't worry about it. It's sitting within the bread. I think even if you don't take Abba Shaul, it's resting inside of the top loaf. It's not piled up over and above it. It's still within the airspace of the top loaf.
Abba Shaul actually says it's in the space that's open.
Correct. But even if you don't take Abba Shaul,
straight on the table, right?
Right. But even if you don't take Abba Shaul, I think the answer will be that it's within the top loaf. It's not piled up over and above, and therefore doesn't extend the height.
The
bazichin, no, you poured it out, and then you were malakate. You would collect it at the end. I don't think they were necessarily. Were they in the spoon?
Yeah.
Or did we pour it out and then collect it at the end of the week? Even if you say it's within the kli, I'll answer you. The kli is sitting wherever this is sitting. Either the kli is sitting flat on the table per Abba Shaul, or it's sitting inside the top loaf of bread, according to the rest of the world.
Doesn't get kedusha by being in the kli.
That was the point that Rashi was making, that the Shulchan didn't give it kedusha, right? And Tosu says lav davka, the space is supposed to be kodesh. The Ika Karanos, last line on Tzadivav Amad Aleph, what about the corners of the bread? You forgot about your corners. So he says, no, Karanos, the Gave de Lechem Kayiflehu, the corners actually folded into the bread, Velechem Alayu Nachlei, and the next loaves above sat on the Karanos, on the corners of these. So your bread is sitting like this, and then folded up on side, and then has corners that jut inward. like you have over there in this nice picture, or it's sitting like a V, and then the corners are still working their way inward, and it's like a shelf. It's a shelf, but it's something you pick up at IKEA. That's what this looks like. The Ika Misgarto, but what about the Misgaris of the table, the shelf that runs around the table? Isn't that going to be bumping up the loaves of bread? Your Misgaret is a tefach, we know. Kimanda Omar Misgarto Lamata Haisa. No, I'll tell you what, this is within the view. There's a machlokes about the Misgaret, but this is within the view that the Misgaret was below the surface of the table. So you had a border that ran below. The Ulamanda Misgarto Lamala Haisa. And even if you'll tell me that you follow the view that it was above, still parkude hava mifrak miparkada. Nonetheless, it actually lay flat. Prakda, and remember the Gemara talks about not lying down flat when you go to sleep or when you're saying Shema. So prakda, there they have a debate. Does it mean lying on your belly or does it mean lying on your back? But either way, it's lying flat. So the point is that this did not support the loaves. The loaves did not sit on top of the misgaret. The misgaret slanted outward, and the bread was flush on the table. And the bread was actually on the table itself. Kidisanya, like the following brisa says. This brisa is about the misgaret being below the surface of the table. Rabbi Yossi Omer lo hayo sham snifin. Rabbi Yossi says there were no snifin. Ela misgarto shel shulchan ma'amedes es halachem. Rather, the misgaret of the table supported the bread. And Omer lo, and they replied no. Misgaret lamata haisa. The misgaret was below the table. When he says supported, what he means is he kept them in place. Tosfos has an interesting discussion. Lo hayo sham snifin. And really, you have to see the Gemara for tomorrow. First, in order to understand it, but he's trying to figure out, according to Rabbi Yossi, how I parse the psukim that describe the shulchan. What are ksosav and what are menachiyosav based on the Gemara on Tzadi Zayin? So, Yaakov, I leave that tosis for you. The Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Ladivrei ha'omer misgarto lemata haisa." This is now a new issue. This is a tangent. Based on our view of the structure of the table, we want to learn a law regarding tumah, because the way that we've depicted the table is that you have a flat surface. Right? And then you have a misgaret, which is either below or above. And the question is, in general, when I have a flat piece of wood, is that a kli such that it can receive tumah? Remember that the surface of the shulchan is wood, and then it's plated, it has a tzipui on it. So the question is, what can I deduce? If you're telling me that the misgaret actually hangs below, and yet we know the shulchan is able to receive tumah, as we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, that means that flat surfaces can receive tumah.
But it's wood.
Well, that's the question. If you have a flat tablet, if you have a flat surface, can it receive tumah? That's what we want to know here. Our assumption had been not. If it doesn't have a base kibul, it doesn't have a receptacle. It's just a flat piece of wood. That's all it is. A tabletop should not be able to receive tumah. Wasn't it covered? Well, that's the Gemara. Hang on another few lines. Good question. You're just a little ahead of us. So that's what we want to discuss now, the ability of the table to become Tamei. Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, L'divrei ha'omer misgarto lamata haisa, if the border is below the tabletop, tavla ha'mishapeches tameya, then I can deduce that in general, if you have a flat tablet, literally a reversible tablet, meaning that it's just a flat surface such that you could use one side or you could use the other, there's no difference.
You turned it upside down, suddenly it would have a toch.
No, but the point is that it's flat. It doesn't have a toch. In other words, if this was my flat wood surface, yeah, such that I could use this side, or I could flip it and use this side, and there wouldn't be any distinction, yeah, it can still receive tumah. Because here you're telling me that you have a flat surface for which you never use the bottom. Okay, there is a misgaret extending downward, but you're never turning the shulchan upside down. Right. So therefore, if this can receive tumah, this flat shulchan can receive tumah, then if you have a flat piece of wood that you use as a surface, that also can receive tumah. That's Rabbi Yochanan's point. The one without a border at all. So it's Temeya. Whereas L'divrei ha'omer misgarto l'mala haisa, if on the other end you tell me that it had a misgaret on the shulchan that extended upward and that gave it a base kibul, now it has a receptacle space, things can't just roll off, then tabla mishapeches kibayalach, then you can't deduce anything, you still ask regarding the flat tabletop. you wouldn't be able to do anything from the Shulchan. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, you tell me that you're deducing this based on the ability of the Shulchan to become Tameh. That means you assume that the Shulchan can become Tameh. Michlal de Shulchan bar Kabulei Tumahu. That means that you're saying that the Shulchan can become Tameh. He says, why? Kli Eitza Asay Lenachasu. It's a wood Kli that's made to sit in one place. And in general, a Kli Eitz that's made to sit in one place, it's not portable, it's not mobile, cannot receive Tumah. My timer. Why? Dumi de sak ba'inan. Because one of the paradigmatic cases for receiving Tumah is a sack. Ma sak mitalta mali v'reikan. I've called mitalta mali v'reikan. The sack is carried, whether it's full or whether it's empty. So too, a kli becomes tameh if it's moved when it is full or when it's empty. To which the Gemara answers, yeah, but the Shulchan also got moved. Shulchanami mitalta mali v'reikan. The table also was moved, whether it was full or empty. Kid Reish Lakish, as Reish Lakish said, de ama Reish Lakish, because he said, "My dichsiv ala shulchan ha-tahor." Why does the Torah use the term ha-shulchan ha-tahor, the pure table, regarding the shulchan? Tahor michlal dika tamei. That means that they could be a tamei shulchan. Ela malamed shemagbiin oso la ole regalim. The answer is they picked it up for the people who came for aliyah l'ragel. Umarin bolachem. They would show them the bread. Va'omrim lahem ruuchi baschem lefnei amakom. And they would say to them, "See how beloved you are before Hashem." And the idea of this is, how does it show that you're beloved? Kedivar Bishua ben Levi, as Bishua ben Levi said, Damar Bishua ben Levi, Nes Gadol Nasa Balechem upon him, there was a great miracle with the bread, Siluko Kesiduro. When you removed it, it was as hot as when it was placed on the table. Shnemar, as the Pasuk says, Lasum Lechem Cham Biyom Hilakho, to put warm bread on the day you removed it. So it was warm even on the day that you removed it. And we said already last time when we saw this, that the Kohanim would have to testify to the warmth. No one outside is seeing that the bread on the table is warm. But the point for us is this. The table can become tameh, even though the table sits in one place, you would also pick it up from time to time. And therefore, it was called, say, mobile kli. Tosus notes that moving it when the Mishkan traveled does not qualify. Because it has a fixed site when it's in use. When it's traveling, it's not actually in use. So not to mention, the Mishkan didn't travel for hundreds of years after you got into Eretz Yisrael. So our first challenge to Rabbi Yochanan again, wanted to deduce the laws of Tumah from the fact that the tabletop was flat, and yet could become tameh, so to any flat wood kli could become tameh. Ah, but it sits in one place? Lav dafka, it doesn't sit in one place. Now the Gemara asks Alan's question. Well, wait a minute, it has a tzipoy, it has this metal plate on it, and therefore... And therefore, it should be able to receive Tumah regardless. Rashi explains what he's asking. He says, it's not because it's a flat tabletop, it's because it has this plate on it. Forget this issue of movable, not movable. So he says, Milo Tanan. Didn't we learn the following? Hashulchan v'adulpiki, or dulpiki, as it often appears in the Mishnah, shenifrasu. If I have a table, or a dulpiki, which I recall is also a mini table that they used to use to serve food, Rashi says it was of hide. Sorry? They shenifchasu, right, and they lost something of the surface. They broke. O shechipan b'shayish v'shir bahen mekom anachas kosas. Or you covered it with marble, with stone, and the idea is that a stone kli does not receive tumah. But you left a place for it where you could put cups to rest. Tameyan, then they are tameh as long as some place remains that's usable. They can become tameh. That's the Tanakhama. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mekom Anachas Chatichos. Rabbi Yehuda says, you have to be a place where you could leave pieces of food. Not sufficient for cups, not only sufficient for cups, but a place where you could actually leave pieces of food. End of quote. But the point is, Shi'er in, Lo Shi'er Lo. It only receives Tumah if there actually is space. Otherwise, since it's covered in stone, the thing will not be able to receive Tumah. And the point for us is this. Since in that case we said that the tzipoy is what matters, when it comes to the Shulchan, the tzipoy is also what matters. And it only receives Tumah because it's mitzupa, not because it's a wood surface. It's only because it has a plating on it. V'chitema kan b'tzipoy omeid, kan b'tzipoy she'eno omeid. And if you'll tell me that it depends on whether the tzipoy is omeid, Rashi says fixed to the table. The Tosfos offers another possibility that it wasn't strong enough that it could function on its own. If you were to take away the tabletop, the tzipoy would collapse. Maybe you'll tell me that it's because it was a weak tzipoy. Ba minei Reish Lakish me Rabbi Yochanan. That's no good because Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, "Betzipoy omed? Oh, betzipoy she'eno omed." He asked him, "When you say that the plating counts, is that only if it's omed, if it's fixed, or is it even if it's not fixed?" B'shechipa es levaz v'zino, b'shelochipa es levaz v'zino. He also asked him, "Does the plating have to cover the end of the table, the edge of the table as well, or not?" V'amar lei, and he replied, Tapatzadi Zayin Abad Aleph 97a, Loshna Tzipoy Omed, Veloshna Tzipoy She'eno Omed, Loshna Chipas Levazvazin, Veloshna Lochipas Levazvazin. It doesn't matter whether you cover the edges or not, and more important, it doesn't matter whether it's a fixed Tzipoy or not. So again, you're trying to deduce laws of Tumah for flat surfaces from the Shulchan. Don't deduce it from the Shulchan, because the Shulchan has a coating, and the coating, the plating that's on it, matters, because we don't distinguish between fixed platings and non-fixed platings. All platings are significant. So therefore, don't tell me that this tabletop can teach me anything. V'chi tema, and if you'll tell me, I'm making your job easier, Yaakov, atzei shitim chashivi v'lo batli, and if you'll tell me, well, this is a different story, because the plating doesn't matter here, because the shulchan was made of atzei shitim, this special acacia wood that they brought out of Mitzrayim, that Yaakov planted, the whole story about how they got atzei shitim omdim, but if you'll tell me it's because the wood was especially important in this case, ha'nichal Reish Lakish, that's fine if your name is Reish Lakish. Da'amar lo shanu ela b'chli ach salgus habami medinas hayam aval kli mismes chashivi v'lo batli. That's fine because Reish Lakish has a separate statement where he says that the rule that you follow the plating only applies when you're talking about Klei Achsalgus. Klei Achsalgus, Tosa says, is from a place called Achsalgus, where their stuff wasn't as nice. But where their stuff is Klei Mismes, which is nicer, then it's not Batel. So then Shapir. So maybe you'll tell me that the plating of the Shulchan in the Mishkan is not really significant because it's covering acacia wood, which was special wood. El Rabbi Yochanan Damar Klei Mismes Nami Batli, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, even Klei Mismes are Batel. So then, now what'll you say? To which he answers, Sha'ani Shulchan, the table in Mishkan was different. The Rachmana Karye 8, the Torah calls it wood. Now, the Torah, the Pasuk in Yechezkel, calls it wood. And since the Pasuk in Yechezkel calls it wood, therefore we ignore the plating. We say the plating is less significant. Shnemar, as the Pasuk says, HaMizbeach 8, Shalosh Amos Gavoa, Orko Shtayim Amos, the Mizbeach of wood, 3 Amos tall, 2 Amos long, Umikutsa'osav, I should say, low, the Orko the kirosa of eight, its corners, its length, its sides are all wood. Vayidaber Elai, he said to me, Zeha Shulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem. This wood thing is the Shulchan before Hashem. So the whole pasuk we understand is referring to that Shulchan and saying eight means wood. So again, We got off on a tangent here. Our point initially was the structure of the table and where the misgaret was. Along the way, though, we presented the view that said that the misgaret hung below the surface of the table. We said, aha, the table can become tameh. That means that any flat surface can become, any flat wood surface can become tameh. We said, well, wait a minute, how is this table becoming tameh in the first place? Isn't it mobile? And we answered that question. Isn't it planted? And our answer was no, that it's mobile. And then we asked, well, how can you tell me that we're going to deduce anything from the tabletop? This tabletop has a tzipoy. And our answer is the tzipoy is not significant. Why is it not significant? Because the Yechezkel calls the table wood. He doesn't recognize the tzipoy as determining the character of the table.
That's covered, though? I mean,
it's plated. It's plated. That's the, yeah. That's
they melted gold to put the whole thing in the.
So apparently not, because you said it's not omed, and Rashi said omed would be fixed to the table. This could be removed. Theoretically, this was removable. We should do four more lines just to wrap the to wrap up the point.
Was it the same thing for the mizbeach? Same washing?
Yes, and theoretically, I suppose it could be removed.
If it's been dissolved, it wasn't actually covered in gold then.
I mean, it's covered in it, but it doesn't mean that it's that's bound to the surface. I just want to do the next four lines to wrap the point. Pasav haMizbeach v'siyem b'shulchan. We're bothered on this pasuk. It started out saying haMizbeach, and it concluded by calling it a shulchan. So it teaches us an important lesson. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Da'ami Travayu, Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim, Mizbeach Mechaber Al Adam. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar said, when the Beis HaMikdash is around, the Mizbeach provides kapara. V'achshav she'ein Beis HaMikdash Kayim. But now, there is no Beis HaMikdash. Where do you get your kapara? Where do you get your atonement? Shulchano Shel Adam Mechaber Al Adam. A person's table will atone for him. It's the table in place of the Mizbeach. Rashi explains, Tosfos here explains as well, that it's because you give food to the needy. So you're giving tzedakah, that's the idea. Marsha also notes the possibility from Pirkei Avos that it's the Torah that you learned at the table that provides the kapara. They always tell you, don't sit on the table because the table's like a Mizbeach. You treat the table as a Mizbeach.